I'll use the mic. I'm a noisy character.
I still want everybody to be able to hear. Well, you're lucky. You get two stories from me today. Some of you probably are saying, oh, gosh, why? Dad taught us a lot growing up. Some of us learned more than others, and one of the things I happened to pick up was a little bit of use of hand tools and power tools. One of the things that we did, my wife Mary and I bought Mom and Dad's house back in 1989. Didn't immediately start changing things, but as is the nature of me, I had to change things. And over the years, we've pretty much changed that everything in that house, sans for the doors in the hall closet. About 16 years ago, we did a remodel job on our kitchen. And Mom and Dad came over numerous times to check on the progress of the work. And one time Dad was there, and we changed, you know, the whole layout of the kitchen and put new cabinets up. We took the cabinets out that he built. And Dad just says, "You're ruining my house." And Mom said, "It's just the way I wanted it." Very quietly, you know, Dad mentioned to me and Mom reassured that he was proud of what I was doing to his house. Dad touched a lot of homes in this community and surrounding areas, and the sanctuary, probably more times than not. I'm sure that a lot of you have got stories you could share about Dad and his working career, and you may get that opportunity. The other story I wanted to tell involved my dad in a roundabout way. Dad was not necessarily, didn't like to share a lot of information about his Navy career, but he was very proud of it. They built, as Ron said, he was on the USS Essex, which was the first of 24 Essex-class carriers. The Japanese Navy never succeeded in sinking one. And as a matter of fact, the only one that ever did sink was sunk intentionally 10 or 15 years ago off the coast of Florida as a to build a reef. But in 1945, one came awfully close to going down. In 1998, I was taking some graduate level classes at Grand Valley after work. And I got in my car and turned the radio on, and usually had it on National Public Radio in the afternoon. And I started listening to a story told by a fellow named Jay O'Callaghan. The fact that he was a good storyteller, a much better storyteller than I am, was fairly obvious. The story happened to be about his uncle, Father Joseph T. O'Callaghan. He was a mathematics professor at Holy Cross College. In 1941, before Pearl Harbor, he joined the Navy, figured he could do more good as a Navy chaplain than as a math professor. He wasn't in the best of health. He was 36 years old. He had heart issues, high blood pressure. He was claustrophobic, which will come up in a minute. He got on board the USS Franklin, and had been on board about a month when they were 50 miles off the coast of Japan, early in the morning before dawn, readying to launch an attack on the Japanese mainland. They had had an interesting 6 hours overnight. They'd been on battle stations 12 times, and things had just started to calm down, and the crew was relaxing a little bit when out of the clouds came a lone Japanese bomber. Dropped two bombs on the flight deck of the Franklin, and it looked pretty bad for that ship. They fought fires. Father O'Callaghan was on the deck administering to the dying. 724 sailors died that day, and almost 300 more were injured. That's more than a third of the crew of that aircraft carrier. when it became obvious that they needed more help, Father O'Callaghan started organizing firefighting crews to attempt to put fires out on the deck, below decks. The flight deck was a mess. There were bombs all over the place being loaded on planes that were rolling around the deck freely. He organized the firefighting crews, and then someone brought to his attention that the fire was creeping close to a gun battery. He was a very claustrophobic man, and he led a crew inside that gun battery, and they started throwing 5-inch shells overboard. A little while later, the captain realized that, you know, the boat was listing 13 degrees, I think the story says, and was in danger of rolling over and sinking. And they thought if they could get a line on the ship, a tow line on the ship, they might be able to save her. Father O'Callaghan had something to do with encouraging crews of people to get this 30-ton tow line hooked to that boat. And then it all started to come apart at the seams, or nearly did. A 500-pound bomb was rolling across the deck towards a hole in the flight deck, and if it had gone through that flight deck, it would have landed on that crew of people trying to get the tow line on that boat, and it probably would have been the end of the Franklin. A half a dozen sailors wrestled the bomb, kept it from going down the hole, and they got people there to try to defuse the bomb. And Father O'Callaghan very calmly came up and stood next to that crew of people, and he crossed his arms and said a little prayer and calmed them down, and they successfully defused that bomb. They did get the ship under tow, and after towing it for a while, they got the boilers fired back up. The Franklin managed to steam back into port on its own and went off for repairs, and it was done with the war after that. Well, you may wonder, what's that got to do with my dad? I was so enthused about this story. I was very late for class because I wasn't going to miss the end of the story. I was so enthused about the story, and I thought Dad would enjoy it. So I bought a copy of the audio tape from public radio. And I finally got around to playing him the audio tape, thinking that, you know, he might like this and he might not, because he'd never shared an awful lot about what really went on in the war. And at the end of the tape, I got a little bit of a surprise. Turns out Dad was half a mile away, on watch, on deck, on the Essex. Most of his crew was down in the boiler room. Most of his division crew was down in the boiler room. But it was his turn to be on watch, and he was up watching for Japanese planes. He was giving his division crew the live blow-by-blow of that very incident. We take a lot of things for granted in life. And I only ever heard the two stories of how close we came to not being here. As, you know, but for the luck of that pilot choosing the other aircraft carrier to drop his bombs on, Dad said it would have been us. And he would have been one of those guys that was blown off that flight deck. So, God bless you, Dad. God bless that pilot, and I feel badly for all the people who didn't make it on the Franklin. But other than that, there were no horror stories. I know there's a face in this audience that has horror stories of his own on an aircraft carrier. Most of the stories that came out of the war were fun stories about his fellow shipmates, and those are the ones we choose to remember the most. But You just, every once in a while, I have to reflect about the things we take for granted and thank your lucky stars for some lucky moments in your life. Dad once told me, I'd rather be lucky than good any day. Well, he had a couple of good ones, so. We'd like to invite anybody else that would has anything they'd like to share to come up and share it.
All right, I got this, Kevin. Okay. I think
I do.
There's a story.
Would you like me to do props?
You can if you want to. You'll get the cue. Okay. I'm Joanne. the precious baby sister. I can do this. I can do this. I had a message from an old school friend earlier this week. It says, "Hi, Joanne. I just wanted to let you know how sorry I was to hear about your dad. I said, thank you, Susan. So sweet of you to reach out." And she says, "I was telling Dave Bowen, Susan Shaw Bowen is who I'm talking with. She says, I was telling Dave about the time that you and I were playing with our Barbies out in recess, and I broke the leg on mine. You said, let me take it home. My dad can fix anything." Okay, sorry. I got this. I really do. "I remember thinking that he must be a really great man. I saw him through your eyes, just by the way you said it. I'm so sorry. I'm a crybaby. Okay. Really, Susan? I don't remember that. Maybe vaguely. Did he fix it? He was truly a MacGyver before MacGyver was even thought of. Apparently, he used to take my grandma's toaster apart and put it back together before he even started kindergarten. Thank you so much for sharing this memory with me. It brought tears, but good tears, full of love and pride tears." And she says, "I honestly can't remember if he fixed it, but I imagine that he did." And I said, "Me too. Because he could fix anything. He taught me a lot of things. I'm probably the only person who has a jackknife and whittles her eyebrow pencil. That's handy. I can read a map. I find north. I like to take the road that I've never been down before versus the road I've been down many times. And I'm just so grateful to have had such a great dad, because a lot of girls don't. And such a good example of a man. And I probably am single because of the fact that he was such a good example of a man. Because no one can fill his shoes. And there's a curriculum. You must have a toolbox, and it must be just as good as my toolbox or better. Because my dad has the ultimate toolbox, which has a sign that says no admittance. And I can't remember how many times I heard him say, 'Who touched my toolbox? Were your brothers here?' So my dad was also a recycler before recycling came popular. You couldn't throw anything in the trash can without having him actually physically touch it and take it out of the trash can to decide where it went, whether it was burnable. So when I got done with my Easy Bake Oven, I threw it in the trash can, and my dad pulled it out. Because he didn't see an old Easy Bake Oven. He saw a trouble light. So this is my Easy Bake Oven trouble light that hangs in my basement to this day. And thanks, Dad, for not throwing it in the trash, or not leaving it in the trash, I should say, because every time I see this Easy Bake Oven, I get tickled. And he's the one doing the tickling. All right, thanks for bearing with me, and I give this to whomever wants to say something and hopefully hold their group together a little bit better than I did, but I love you all. Thanks for coming. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you.
Oh, I had a lot of fun with Joanne when she was little. Yeah. Lots and lots of fun. But one story that has never left me, and I was just reminded of it this morning, was the huckleberry pie. We had in Ed a man who loved his huckleberry pie, and every year would go out and pick huckleberries so that Lois could make him a pie. And it was a sacred pie. Nobody touched the huckleberry pie except for Ed and anyone who he chose to share it with. But one time I went over there, and Ed was in the living room with the first piece of the first huckleberry pie of the season, and the expression on his face was one of immense satisfaction. He hadn't even taken a bite. He hadn't even dug the fork into the pie yet, and there was a kitten. There was a kitten named Maudie who was young and ignorant. And she decided she liked huckleberry pie too. And she landed right in the middle of Ed's piece of huckleberry pie. And there was such a horrified silence, nobody dared move because that was his pie. So we had a kind of a purpley colored kitten, and she did survive, but it was the last time she jumped into Ed's pie.
Only one.
Is there anybody else?
Pray with me. Great Creator, Author of life, Father of our salvation, Author of unceasing purpose and uncompromising faithfulness. We are here to smile, to remember, to grieve our loss, and to thank you. Oh Lord, we're here to thank you for the obedience of your Son, Jesus Christ, that offers a way of salvation and forgiveness for the sinful life that we often are so caught up in. And on this day of transition, on this day of change, on this day of new family structure and new dynamics, we are pleased beyond words for Ed's faith, and for who Ed was. We thank you for the way he touched lives quietly. We thank you for the day-to-day pleasure that he provided for all of the cabinets and the things that he built by people all over this village and the area. We thank you for his gifts. And we thank you for the way that he touched so many lives by example, and by the occasional word. So Lord, we are blessed. We are grateful for the life of Ed Springsteen. And on this very special day, we thank you, Father, for being so faithful to him and to us. So as we conclude this prayer, we offer up to you the words of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. A reminder to scoot over to the VFW and share your stories and your memories with the family. Will you rise for the benediction? As the children of God, you are called to spread the news of his salvation. Today we are thankful for the life of Ed Springsteen. Take that joy with you. Take the good stories and take the message wherever you go. Walk in the name of your Father. Walk with your brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, your Messiah, your co-heir. And walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.